May it please the court, counsel for the government, Todd Schultz, Assistant Federal Public Defender, representing the defendant appellant. The district court in this case erred in applying a non-categorical approach in its interpretation of 42 U.S.C. 16911, paragraph 4A1. The provision at issue in the district court is the 4A1, which defines a Tier 3 sex offender as a sex offender whose offense is punishable by imprisonment for more than 1 year and is comparable to or more severe than aggravated sexual abuse or sexual abuse, as those terms are described in their respective statutes. The district court, in rejecting a categorical approach, indicated that such an approach was too sterile and did not permit it to take into account the underlying facts of the qualifying offense. In looking beyond the statute of conviction at the underlying facts surrounding the defendant's military conviction for sodomy, the district court concluded that he was required to register as a Tier 3 sex offender. The district court's looking beyond the statute of conviction is at odds with the plain language of this statute. The plain language indicates that Congress intended a reviewing court or district court to approach the statute in a categorical approach fashion. Notably, the provision 4A1 doesn't...
That would generally hurt criminal defendants, wouldn't it?
Approaching it categorically?
Yeah.
I don't believe, with respect to the specific provision before the court today, that that's correct, Your Honor.
Because the military tends to criminalize more activity than the civilian, right?
That's correct, but if the court then is required to look at the actual statute of conviction and not rely necessarily on the fact that this offense maybe was designated by the Secretary of Defense pursuant to the delegation authorities, I believe, which are contained in paragraph 5A4 of the statute, I think it actually benefits the defendant to limit the court to looking at the statutory factors or the statute itself.
Suppose that the Secretary of Defense designates homosexual activity as a criminal offense, right?
Yes, sir.
Even though it would be unconstitutional to make it criminal for civilians, but military could probably do it. So wouldn't defendants want to be able to show that although this had been designated, you know, by the military as a terrible thing, in fact, the acts involved were not the sort of thing that would justify, you know, lifelong sex registration?
Well, Your Honor, I believe that the statute actually addresses in part the court's concern. I believe it's paragraph 5C, which indicates that any consensual sexual conduct cannot be the basis for a reporting requirement. So with respect to that,
where is this?
I believe it's 42 U.S.C. 16-1911-5C. The provision is entitled Consensual Sexual Conduct.
Right. That's right. You're right.
So, but whether it would benefit the defendant or not, Your Honor, the reality is Congress chose to use the word offense in this provision. It did not use the more expansive term conduct. And so a court is called upon to compare the offense, not the underlying offense conduct, to the enumerated offenses.
So if the court is allowed to consider the underlying conduct, then would you agree that he'd be properly classified as a Tier 3 offender?
Yes, I would agree with that, Your Honor.
And now the record is sparse. Assuming we can look at the charging document, should we assume that by pleading guilty, Taylor was admitting to all the facts alleged in the charging document?
I don't believe that's correct, Your Honor. I think the court should look to the stipulation. Is the court talking with respect to the failure to register federal offense?
No, I'm just talking about the underlying offense, the underlying military offense, where there's mention in the guilty plea and in the charging document, this by force. in terms of what happened.
Correct, Your Honor. And it's our provision, that it's our position that under the categorical approach, this court nor the district court should look to any of those documents, that what the review is limited to is looking to the statute of conviction, which here is 10 U.S.C. 925, Article 125.
Right. Oh, I understand your position, but I'm saying when he pled guilty, did he admit to all those facts as charged? Is the record clear that he admitted that it was by force? That's what I'm trying to get at. Is there enough to tell from the...
I mean, I don't know that there is enough in the record. I know it's included in the government's brief. I do believe that the charging document alleges the use
by
of force.
Yeah. Okay.
But the Defense Department's listing of offenses requiring sex offender processing lists forcible sodomy as one of them.
That's correct, Your Honor.
So why doesn't that nail him?
Well, Your Honor, because I don't believe that in examining Section 4A1, I don't believe that the district court nor this court must defer to the Secretary of Defense's assessment or description of the offense. 4A1 doesn't suggest that with respect to military offenses, the court should simply consult the governing document issued by the Secretary of Defense. I believe all the Secretary of Defense can do is, pursuant to 5A4, is indicate which military convictions would require registration. And so I don't think that the Secretary of Defense has anything to say with respect to the tier levels and the determination that the district court was called upon to make. In particular, I think it is of some significance that this governing document, which purports to list the sex offenses under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, which require registration, that this document, in fact, predates SORNA, and that with the enactment of SORNA, the Secretary of Defense was once again delegated this authority to designate certain offenses under the military code as requiring registration, but yet that he's not done so. And so that when the court looks to this supposed governing list, this is a list which predates SORNA.
Forcible sodomy is rape, right?
I believe that's correct, Your Honor. That's my understanding.
Well, isn't rape a Tier 3 sex offense? Aggravated sexual abuse or sexual abuse?
Your Honor, I believe that all those offenses would be Tier 3 mm-hmm. offenses, but the
forcible sodomy is rape, and rape is certainly comparable to aggravated sexual abuse or sexual abuse. Then why don't you lose? I don't understand.
Well, Your Honor, because my client wasn't convicted of forcible sodomy. He was convicted of sodomy, and under the sodomy statute,
I don't understand. Forcible sodomy is listed as an offense by the Defense Department.
That's right. There's no doubt that the Secretary of Defense says that my client...
All it says here is a military offense specified by the Secretary. So the Secretary specifies as offense, specified as forcible sodomy. So he specified...
Wasn't his plea to forcible sodomy?
In the originally, Your Honor?
Yeah.
I believe that the charging document indicated that it was forcible sodomy.
He pleaded guilty to that.
Right.
Well, Your Honor, I believe what he pled guilty to was sodomy. The specific section.
This is splitting hairs. The military.
Yeah,
the Secretary of Defense says one of the military offenses under this subsection 4 is forcible sodomy. And then you say, well, of course, we have to then determine whether that for Tier 3. Whether that's comparable to the other Tier 3 offenses. Well, it is. I don't see what else there is to talk about.
And that's what led me to ask about the guilty plea. What was the guilty plea to? Was the guilty plea to sodomy or forcible sodomy?
Your Honor, and just so I can be clear, I see him in my rebuttal time. He pled guilty to sodomy. He was not charged with forcible sodomy, which he could have been under a different section of the military code.
He was charged with forcible sodomy.
Your Honor, I would just indicate with respect to the court's comment that he pled guilty pursuant to 10 U.S.C. 925, Article 125, which is sodomy. And
I'm sorry, so repeat that. Repeat that again.
He pled guilty, Your Honor, pursuant to 10 U.S.C. 925, Article 125, which is known as sodomy. the offense of sodomy has no requirement of force or threat or non-consent. And so in pleading guilty, I believe he only admitted to the elements contained in the sodomy statute. And I don't believe that simply because the Secretary of Defense gets to designate which offenses require registration, that this court or the district court is somehow required to defer to the Secretary of Defense on assigning tier levels, in particular when this governing document wasn't even created at a time when SORNA was in existence or when there was a three-level tier system. So in short, while the Secretary of Defense can certainly designate those offenses that require...
He pleaded guilty to violation of Article 125, and the specification is forcible sodomy. And 125 is the section that refers to in the list by the Secretary of Defense.
That's correct, Your Honor. But I believe what I believe the court should do is not relate back to the list from the Secretary of Defense, but to look at the actual statutory definition. And I believe if the court does that, then
refer back to the list of the Secretary of Defense. The statute makes that list determinative.
I don't believe, with all respect, Your Honor, it does on the issue of tier level. I don't know how
well, it could.
Use the offense to determine whether the tier level, right? So first you identify the offense. If it's forcible sodomy, then it's comparable to...
But clearly 10 U.S.C. 920 is not forcible sodomy. It's not the rape statute.
But then you look at all the documents we have from the military, and they all say, if you look at the court-martial order 4-99, May 17th, 199, it's U.S. military, it's Article 125.
Which
is forcible sodomy.
Your Honor, I believe Article 125 is not forcible sodomy.
What,
if
was
the court
it specifically that your client entered the plea to in the incident
right.
case? Because what I'm reading is from the grand jury indictment, which says he was convicted of the military code for forcible oral sodomy and forcible anal sodomy. And that's the one he pleaded guilty to.
Your Honor, I believe he pled guilty to the sodomy statute, which is separate and distinct from the forcible sodomy statute. It would be
so that when the government says that he entered an open plea of guilty to this, he didn't. That's not true.
No, Your Honor, it is correct that he pled to the indictment as filed, but with
the
respect,
the indictment as filed charged that he was convicted of forcible oral and anal sodomy.
Your Honor, the stipulation of facts make clear that he concedes that he was convicted pursuant to 10 U.S.C. 925, Article 125.
Going around a mulberry bush.
Well, yeah, he
entered a plea of guilty to the indictment. The indictment charged that he had been convicted prior of oral and forcible oral and anal sodomy, right?
The indictment alleges that. In pleading guilty, I don't believe that he acknowledged.
He parsed it out and said he wasn't guilty, but he was? Or what?
Well, in the stipulation of facts, which I think is the document the government should the court should reference, he acknowledges that he was convicted of an offense which requires registration, that he was convicted pursuant to 10 U.S.C. 925. And so he does not
plead guilty to this charge?
He did, Your Honor. He certainly did.
But the underlying, when I'm looking at the court martial document, now I'm on July 9th, where it says subject Taylor went to general court martial for violation of 125 sodomy. So then what you're saying is the indictment said forcible sodomy. Okay, that's what the indictment on the failure to register said.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. That indictment was not corrected, or there was nothing filed to clarify that what he really pled to was 125. And so then in terms of his plea, you're saying that he admitted sodomy, but not forcible sodomy.
That's correct, Your Honor. I think that the indictment needs to put my client on notice of what is being alleged by the government, that the stipulation of facts indicates what he admitted with respect to
forcible sodomy is 125A, right?
I thought that forcible sodomy, Your Honor, was 120 under the rape statute.
Well,
I think, Your Honor, that you might be referring to the DeBurs codes in the Secretary of Defense's.
To his, in his list, you see he calls. Well, actually, he says the list says 125 is forcible sodomy. 125A is some code, but the military, USCMJ military art 125 is forcible sodomy and sodomy of a minor. That's irrelevant. Mm-hmm. So if he would pleaded guilty to 125, he pleaded guilty to forcible sodomy.
Your Honor, I apologize. It may be that I am confused as to the statutory reference, but I can assure this court that he was found guilty of sodomy, that there was no...
Look, the Defense Department says that 125 punishes forcible sodomy and sodomy of a minor. That's all it says about 125. So that's their understanding. So he was convicted either of forcible sodomy or sodomy of a minor. Well, obviously it was not a minor.
Your Honor, I've gone way beyond my time here, but I would just indicate that if the court looks at the statute of conviction to which the government doesn't dispute, I don't believe that the government is going to suggest that he was convicted under a statute which requires force or the use of force and that he was simply convicted of sodomy.
Look, the Defense Department, the statute asks the Defense Department to list certain military offenses, which then become then considered in determining tier. And what the government and what the Defense Department has said in its list is that 125 is forcible sodomy mm-hmm. and sodomy of a minor. Mm-hmm. And what he pleaded guilty to was 125 forcible sodomy.
But what I don't believe the court has done during this brief hearing is to look at the actual statutory definition contained within Article 125.
What difference does it make?
Because he pled guilty to those.
The Defense Department has been asked by Congress to list military offenses which it regards as justifying sex offender status and registration. And it lists 125 and it calls it forcible mm-hmm. sodomy. Rightly, wrongly, mm-hmm. who knows? The point is, that's its determination. And forcible sodomy is rape, so you look back to the Tier 3 criteria and you realize rape is Tier 3. I don't think it matters what the statutes actually say. It's just what the Defense Department has been given free rein to designate offenses that put people in, that require registration. I don't see how you get around that.
Well, the only way I've attempted to do that, Your Honor, is by suggesting that when Congress uses the word offense as opposed to conduct, the Secretary of Defense is likely looking at underlying conduct. This particular aspect of the statute indicates to the court to look to the offense of conviction.
Are we supposed to say the Defense Department doesn't know what mm-hmm. Article 125 means?
Exactly. Well, I don't think that this court or the district court is required to defer or instructed to defer in the statute to the Secretary of Defense, because all the Secretary of Defense is doing is saying what offenses require registration. He's not been delegated the authority.
No, but he's saying that Article 125 is mm-hmm. the forcible sodomy mm-hmm. statute.
Mm-hmm. Right, and because of that...
And that's obviously the assumption in this, in the indictment or whatever it was, and his plea to it. Mm-hmm. That's what he was pleading to, forcible sodomy, which is rape. Well, anyway, thank you, Mr. Schultz. Irwin?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I will apologize in advance for the level of my advocacy. The colleague who was going to present this argument got sick yesterday. I drove up here and then replacing him, so I just got this case. But I would direct the Court's attention to Appendix C, page 13 and page 14, which has the charging document and the document which indicates the plea of guilty. Both indicate forcible sodomy, as this court has indicated. The Department of Defense has made that one of the offenses that requires registration. It's clear that the Department of Defense has distinguished between different types of sexual acts for determining what is required to be registered, and it includes sodomy of a minor and forcible sodomy. And this makes great sense in that if two consenting adults in the military, or one is a member of the military, if two consenting adults engage in acts, it may be an offense, it may be court-martialed, it may be a reason for a discharge, but it may not necessarily be a reason to have to register for the rest of your life. But if you are committing a forcible act or an act upon a child, that is what we traditional...
This is he only got 90 days?
I can't speak...
It seems like a pretty light punishment for a rape.
I can't speak for the penalties in the military justice system, Your Honor. I've never participated in that system. But I think the court has the argument and has a good grasp of it, and the Department of Defense has indicated that certain offenses require to be registered. And one thing that was interesting, I noticed, for example, in that list of offenses, they have conduct on becoming an officer, but then it says if it involves any sexually violent offense or criminal offense of a sexual nature against a minor. So all conduct on becoming an officer doesn't require you to register, but if your conduct that you were convicted of with respect to on becoming an officer involves that sexual violence or sex against a minor, then you do have to register. And what the Department of Defense has done is just list those offenses, which we would traditionally think somebody is a sex offender and has to register for, has made those a requirement for those who are convicted. Mm-hmm. If the court has no questions. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. And thank you to Mr. Schultz. And you were appointed, were you not? You're a defender. Well, we thank the defenders for your efforts on behalf of the